Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tippy Talk, where we focus on your story and your enlightenment and everything that will take us to where we want to go. We talk about how to overcome obstacles. We talk about how to really basically live a better life. So today, we bring you a special guest who is a very creative author and just a wonderful person. I'd like to basically really let her tell you a lot more about where she's from, but Carol Kelly Moore actually is a writer. She just created a book called Christina, which is what we're going to be talking about. She's also a playwright and a songwriter. And I just want to mention also that the proceeds from her play all went to UNICEF, which is really generous and really shows you the kind of character and the kind of person that we're dealing with. Carol was brought up in an orphanage, and we're going to talk about that. And also, after the orphanage, she was put in the foster care system, which we all know is not exactly a lot of fun. So basically, she has a different perspective, which we all can really learn from, because she did not have the traditional kind of upbringing and the kind of background that most people have if they're not in an orphanage. So it's always an amazing story. So I'd like to welcome you, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tippy Talk. And I'm going to lower the music a little bit so that we can hear you better. Hi, Carol. Good morning.
Hi, Tippy. Good morning and good morning to your audience. Hope everyone's having a blessed day.
Thank you so much, Carol. And I am really excited about this book, Christina. I think Christina is something that really belongs in every single home. And that's the name of the book that you wrote. But before we really go into the book, can I ask you, what's the reason, like what brought you to a place where you actually wrote Christina? And what is the most important thing to you about this project?
It centers around many years I didn't think I had purpose. And then as I wrote Christina for a play originally for Rama Kumaris, I started to change the storyline. I knew that my main character, Christina, needed to have a voice. So I rewrote the whole play. I wrote it in book form, and I brought Christina to a place called Selma, Alabama, 1959 to 1963. And as today is Martin Luther King Day, it's apropos. We speak about Christina's journey. Now, remember, Christina is fictional, but she's every child that went through that particular era up to today, where many children have to overcome their survivors and reach their destination and feel they have purpose as well.
Yes, I actually really want to share with everybody about the Martin Luther King Day and why it is so important and what is so amazing about us doing the interview today. So yes, everybody, today is Martin Luther King Day, and it's really not something that I planned or did on purpose. I thought it just so happened to be that the 20th of January was a day that I had available for Christina and to talk to Kelly Moore. But it turned out that it was just so much more than just January 20th. And Carol, why is Martin Luther King Day so important for us to have the interview today? What is it that makes it so special?
Well, as the audience would know, if Martin was alive, he would be 91 years old on Friday, that his legacy is his last speech, "I had a dream." And we all dream of a better world, all inclusivity. And I think that the song, "We Are the World, We Are the Children," it starts with children, it ends with adults, and in the middle, we should all do our part to make it a better world for them, for you, and for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so what is Christina about?
Christina is a period piece. As I stated, it is about Selma, Alabama, back in the day, as they say, when equal pay, the right to vote, camaraderie, churches stepped up. They were trying to get to Montgomery. And when they were pushed back on the bridge, the children led the march. Christina was one of the children in my mind's eye that was marching. Christina had a disability from birth. She has a limp, and she's limping along. But she felt so proud that even if she was walking very slowly, she was part of something larger than herself. It's not a political, it's just a human story that at the end there should be fairness and justice should prevail for all, whatever the struggle is. I just wrote her as I felt her and as I saw her in my mind's eye, and I knew she was a spunky little kid that had to get across the finish line. Book one is a series of books. I'm not finished with book three yet. It's the trilogy of her life. But as I said, it could be anybody's life, overcoming, surviving, and crossing the finish line with dignity and grace.
So basically, the bottom line is that Christina is about survival. It's about overcoming the obstacles that we have in our life. And also, even bigger than that, it's about really getting to the finish line and being able to cross the finish line, even though you have all these obstacles that may try to stop you from getting there. Is that what the point is?
Exactly. Exactly, Tippi. That is the mission statement on all of this. Just make it across. Even if you make it across last, you don't have to come in first place. Just make it across.
Just get to the finish line. Get to the finish line.
Yes.
So do you mind if we talk a little bit about your stay at the orphanage?
Well, most of it has been very vague, you know, out of the birth canal, so to speak. My mother was seven. Yeah, my mother was 17. My father was an Army second lieutenant. He died. He died at the end of World War II, and I was transported from the hospital I was born into, Catholic Charities, who then transported me to St. Agnes Home for Children up in Rockland. And then they phase you out at a certain age to the foster care system. The only memories I remember was asking the nun, why am I here? Actually, I never did get an answer to that question. She would say, you're here because.
Wow.
So on the because word always intrigued me in any given situation. If you ask the words, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? Or why in generality? It's because. And then
yeah.
The question mark comes up. Why because? Like, why is it this way?
Yeah.
We could change it if we wanted to in a nice, peaceful, unintrusive way. We could all change a lot of things by being humble and kind and asking the question occasionally, not every day. Why? I mean, we know laws are in place to protect us, and there's a stationary way we have to go about our life, working, shopping, etc. But the because always seemed to be bothering me that we could build a better mousetrap if we wanted to, just hypothetically, metaphorically speaking. There might be another way to approach whatever the given situation is.
I think that's pretty amazing that nun anchored that to you, because you were just wanting to know an answer, and instead of giving you an answer, she gave you because. You know, she kind of made that because what, you stupid nun, you know, and you weren't old enough to really stand up and say that. So what age are we talking about? How old were you?
I'd say up until I was 9, from about, I mean, you know, it took me years to find out some of my biological history. And I think at 9, when I was finally adopted, it became very clear that something in the back side of my life, that there was obstacles as far as family obstacles. My mother, I found out years later, she didn't want to surrender me for adoption. She held on to me, I think, until I was about 6. And then I was in the foster care system. And then when I was about 9 going on 10, my foster family, where I was in residence, decided they were going to adopt a child. And originally, because of the legality of my mother not wanting to surrender me, they waited on having a foster child to be their own personal child as far as adoption goes. And I was like, they wanted a little boy, but they got a little girl. So, you know, after that, I believed in my heart and soul that I... You know, I don't know what the word adoption is. That's the confusion part. And actually, it was about 9 months into the adoption that my adopted father, who was a New York City cop, was killed in the line of duty.
Ooh.
42nd Precinct, they call it Fort Apache.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess in my mind's eye is I was orphaned twice.
So yes.
Out of that, it became very difficult for me to console myself because I love this gentleman.
Yeah.
George Shell was his name. I loved him dearly, and my mother became a widow at a very early age, and her heartbreak became my heartbreak.
Right.
Because here she is, a young woman, a widow, with a young child that she just basically adopted. Medical bills, you know, over the years that she had different illnesses. And I try to be a support system to her because, you know, I loved her. And the differences that we had were so mundane because, you know, I understood her pain after that. She was very depressed after that happened. And as I said, I tried to do the best I could to make her happy.
So
and
it became
she died
your
when
job.
I was about 22.
So
she died when
job.
I was about 22. Yes.
So it became your job to make her happy. That's what you took on yourself. Because
yes,
she was
I
sad.
Did.
Yeah, that's a very tough job for a child to take on. So I can see how you went from wanting to make her happy to wanting to make the rest of the world happy. That makes a lot of sense because it's kind of a natural progression of taking on a role in life as a child, and then we take it on as an adult too. Especially when who was there to make you happy, that was irrelevant because you were there to make her happy and everybody else happy. That's beautiful. That's a really beautiful thing for a child to take up. Unbelievable. So you from the so the foster time in your life was really not in a bunch of different places. It was one place that you went to, and then you were adopted, and then the woman experienced a tragedy, which became your tragedy. It wasn't
exactly.
Like you were in, right.
No,
amazing.
Not multiple. There might have been a transition period. I don't basically remember. I remember
right.
that the social worker would come. I might have been in one or possibly two foster homes before
mm-hmm.
I arrived at that last end destination.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So that's where the depth and the beauty of Christina comes from is the depth and the beauty of where you're at. And I have a feeling that you happen to be a really sensitive person, so you feel things really, really deeply, a little bit more deeper than most people do. Am I right?
Yes, I'm Pisces. And if anybody out there is Pisces listening, they understand. We are the dreamers. We are the creative people. We are the
March?
Givers.
Were you born
March
in March?
4th.
Oh,
March
my God. Guess when my birthday is.
I don't have a clue. We never touched on that.
I know. Well, let
don't
me tell
me.
You. My birthday is March 7th.
Wow. Then you understand, Tippy.
I totally understand you. Totally and completely understand you because I was a pleaser most of my life, and all I wanted to do was make everybody happy just like that. So I get you. In my blood, I get exactly where you're coming from. Absolutely. So it looks like I might have gotten disconnected, but I'm not sure I'm disconnected because I can't hear Carol right now. I'm going to try.
Can you hear me, Tippy?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Yeah, something was coming in on the line. There was a pinging sound.
Yeah, something was weird. It kind of got cut off for a few minutes. But we got you back now, so that's good. Not to worry about it. So yeah, that's amazing. We have so many synchronicities coming up that it's pretty kind of weird, but in a great way. Don't you feel the same way?
Oh, yes, we're in harmony. I felt it since the day I spoke to you originally. God works in mysterious ways. I guess this conversation needed to be said, especially today's date, as we both concur, is a day to eulogize a great man, a great leader, a great spokesperson who tried to change what he could change in a peaceful, non-confrontational way. And 250,000 people marching with him in synchronicity, that's amazing now, isn't it? We all bonded as one loving group of people to change something that needed to be changed.
Yeah, so, yeah, you really identify with him, with Martin Luther King, in a lot of different ways. In one way that you want to see the justice, in the other way that so many people are involved in getting that justice. And this is a very special day for you. And so I guess this would be a very special interview for you. So tell us more about Christina. She definitely... She has a little problem walking, so she's limping a little bit. was it something that happened to her within the frame of the book, or she starts out limping?
You broke up a little bit, but I'll explain. I felt that people with disabilities, any kind of disability, sometimes they are the minority in having a voice for their needs to be met. And so I had to write something in Christina's life that made her a poster child for overcoming a disability. And as you know, there's a bullying situation in America, well, probably across the world, where children, you know, they have unfairness in the school, you play playgrounds, and that they're kind of having to have not just challenges in their home life, but challenges when they go out into the larger world, and that kids will bully them because of something that they were born with. So I decided to write her with a disability, a little limp. And I felt that fairness across the board, discriminatory practices when other children don't accept children for who they are and what they are with their disability, that it needed to be said. How do you change that? By treating a child just as normal as any other child, whether they're blind, hard of hearing, they walk with the limp. And because if it's not a foreign experience, it's just we accept you as you are, and that's incorporated at an early age with other children. In other words, I want to change the mindsets how children judge other children, that it's acceptable. And most, you'll see that most children that are born with a disability are gifted in another area.
That's really true, and can I tell you another secret that you might find coincidental, but I think it's also pretty much amazing. My mother had a limp. She was always like that, and her mother, my grandmother, used to make fun of her as a child that she was limping, and she used to call her handicapped, and one of the things she always used to tell her is, nobody's going to want to marry you because you're handicapped. So
that's so sad.
I can definitely relate to that specific disability that you picked for Christina, because me being the kind of sensitive person that I am, I felt my mother's pain because of what her mother did to her. I think if her mother would not have done that to her, she might have been able to handle it better. But I think she lived her entire life feeling that she was less than everybody else because she had to settle for the kind of husband she married. She had to settle for the kind of life she had. She always felt that she didn't matter. Everybody else, her kids mattered, her husband mattered, but she didn't matter. And I think it came from the fact that she was limping and that her mother always called her, you're the handicapped one, so, you know, what do you expect? So,
One of the books you profiled is So a Man Thinketh. And the words that children hear when they're very young, like you're a failure, you're not going to get a husband because you have a limp, a good husband, you know, you're going to have to settle for second best for whatever reason, all those negative words. If a man thinketh, a woman thinks it, if they're put into their minds when they're very young, you're just like so-and-so, your Uncle Tommy, or whatever it is who's an alcoholic, whatever the situation is, you know, it preconditions a child to believe it if it's reinforced enough times. So, therefore, we should change the language we speak to children so that
I heard a really powerful quote about children. Your outer words become the child's inner words, something like that. Like whatever you say on the outside, the child takes it in and internalizes it. Just like the word because became a thing for you because didn't satisfy your curiosity and your question. And it you anchored on that word. So it may not have been like a blow in the face or a punch for you, but it definitely became a problematic thing when somebody says because to you. And so it is with everything else. When you are hurt, because like some people, let's say if they get beat up by a belt, they can never wear belts as long as they live because the belt signifies pain. So yeah, words are very, very important, how you bring up children. And I think that's what you're trying to do with Christina. You're trying to make people aware of their words and their action. And by taking a girl that has a slight disability, it makes it really, really powerful. So I think that it's a great book, and I think that it should be definitely, people should check it out. So if they want to check it out, where can they find it?
They can find it on eBooks. They can find it in Barnes & Noble. They can find it Amazon Prime, Amazon. They can find it on the publishing company. It's Ex Libris. And I have to give credit to Ex Libris because when I wrote the book, I said, I want to speak it from my heart. And they said, any way you want to preach it, Carol's okay with us. They got me the best illustrator. The pictures in the book are amazing. People worked with me to get this storyline exactly how I envisioned it. Cara Cardinello, the vice president of publishing, amazing woman. Joseph Ramsey, the illustrator, amazing illustrator. They also had published Beyonce Knowles' father's book, and they have such wonderful staff that they make you feel accomplished. Even if it's only the beginning of one book goes into two, into the trilogy, they get the job done. Great publishing company.
Wonderful. And do you have a place that if anybody wants to get in touch with you that they can contact you? Like a website or...
Right as we speak, no, but I'll give my email address if they want to give me any comments, thoughts, concerns. I love feedback. My email, is ck524529@gmail.com. Call my personal home number, my cell number.
No. Don't give out your personal home number.
Okay,
they can contact you by email. That would be fine. And they know where to get your book. You can go online, Barnes & Noble, anywhere they sell books. That's probably where the book is. But I promise you that if you go to Google and just put the name of the book, Christina, or the name Carol Kelly Moore, then you would probably get the book right there. And also, if you want to find out more information and you want to contact me, you could always email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. That's T-I-P-P-Y talkshow. And I will be happy to forward the information for you. And yeah, that's pretty amazing, Carol. I'm really, really impressed with the book and I'm impressed with what you're doing. Any last words that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, hopefully as the book takes off, we will be able to do some kind of a foundation where if you buy a book, we'll donate a book to inner city schools, global third world countries to do what I call the Christina Project, which will be an outreach to supply kids with basic little doggy bags, kind of like little zippy bags with school supplies, sanitary things, like just the common everyday things that we take for granted, toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, you know, a copy of the book, and in the backpack it can be distributed for the foundation. That's my dream. That's my hope. I would love to see this book in every school across America, in every library, in every country that has children that want to learn, read, and make a way for themselves in this world.
That's so beautiful. And yes, every country has children. And children.
Oh, definitely.
And children always have a curious mind and they want to find out things. So I think that's a beautiful vision. I'll hold that vision with you and I will ask everybody else to hold that vision with you. And we are looking forward to seeing Christina all over the place. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. I am really excited about this, and I'm really looking forward to hearing a whole bunch of other things that you have going. So we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk with Carol Kelly Moore, who is not only an artist, she's also got a really open, giving heart that wants to give every child in the entire world a better life. You can't ask for anything more. Looking forward to hearing from you again soon, Carol. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Likewise, Tippy. Thank you for the ability to serve your show and to serve the children that I'm going to go out to be able to help in this world. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Don't forget that we are looking also for your story. If you're listening, we always want to have your story. It doesn't have to be inspirational or special, super, that you might think it inspirational, because here at Tippy Talk, your story is special and we want to hear it. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. We've been talking to Carol Kelly Moore today, author of Christina. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. Thank you, Carol. It's been amazing.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Don't need a man, you got a phone in your